Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 263, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah! It's a production of iHeartRadio, and it's a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's also Wednesday, November 16th, 2022, which of course means, Miles, it's November 16th.
Yeah, National Fast Food Day, National Button Day, National Indiana Day, National Check Your Wipers Day, National Education Support Professionals Day. You know what I mean? Check your wipers, though, for real, man. Those rains we had recently,
yeah,
it hadn't rained so long. I, like, the rubber had been destroyed in the summer heat. Like, it just been cracked and blown off the wiper blade. So when I ran it, like, the rubber just went floppy and it was just like smearing water all over my windshield.
Yeah,
and that down.
Yeah, it becomes like a dried out earthworm. Like, yeah, after a while in Los Angeles. When I first, as an East Coast transplant, when I first came out here, I was like, man, people out here do not know how to respond to rain. Like, they drive so slow in the rain.
Or faster.
But but then it's necessary. It's warranted because so many things that work about, you know, overcoming the rain when you're driving or... like, there's just a fine film of dust on the ground at all times. And so the roads, like, turn into this, like, slimy mess. And, yeah, our windshield wipers, like, get wet once and then don't get wet for another 6 months. And then they're just, yeah, little dried out carcasses of windshield wipers.
So check your wipers. Check your wipers. Don't be caught out here smearing
folks,
on your windshield.
Check your wipers.
Exactly.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I wanted to bring that one up because a listener recently discovered the dish Potatoes O'Brien in the frozen food section of their grocery market.
Oh, just now?
Snapped a photo and asked the question that I think everyone's curious about. Sam O. Snow tweeted, okay, bud, longtime listener, probably first-time tweeter, I need to know if this was the thing before your a.k.a. First of all, thank you for calling me Bud.
Yeah.
For being a listener. I want to believe in the version of reality where the people of Or Ida are such big fans of this show and, like, such big believers in the, like, broad cross-sectional appeal of the Daily Zeitgeist that they named a dish after after one of my AKAs. So that's what we're going with. That is
you can tell your kids
write it on Wikipedia, folks. That's that's the deal. They named it after me hundreds of years ago somehow. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Mr. Miles Gray and Jack O'Brien. Shout out to this dueling AKA from Johnny Davis. It's Miles Gregg and Jack O'Brien because these are parents getting actors' names wrong. Five AKAs. Oh, Miles Gregg and Jack O'Brien? Yeah, yeah, Mr. Bryant. He sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Johnny, on the Discord for that one.
I love that. That's a great
Jack O'Brien.
The
Jack
at the end.
Jack O'Brien.
That's probably how my dad would get my name wrong if he wasn't my dad.
Your own? Oh, like even though it is his own last name, he's like, there's that Jack O'Brien.
Jack O'Brien kid.
Yeah.
Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny comedian, writer, and actor you know from such places as TV, doing stand up, or acting in Heather's and Corporate, one of the funniest comedies of the past decade, which she also wrote for. Please welcome back to the show, Paige Weldon!
Paige! Oh my God, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paige, for being here.
Cracking up, I'm just thinking of all the actors' names that my mom has gotten wrong over the years.
Oh, hit us with some.
I'll never forget. She would not stop saying, this is during, you know, the height of popularity of that 70s show, she would say Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher.
Better name.
I mean,
the better
that,
name.
The layers of we've got ass, we've got cooch. I mean, we're having so much fun there. And then there was a period, also I assume, sort of in the same period of time, she would always say Kelly Clarkston.
Which is
not a huge miss. It's not as bad as Ashton Kutcher, but you know.
Those are better, I think, when you're when you add a letter. Like that's like the height of misunderstanding a name more than wholesale, like Ashton Kutcher. I'm like, tell me more about this Clarkston.
Yeah, who is she?
Shelly Clarkston.
I'm sure there are more. Maybe they'll come to me and I'll shout them out throughout the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
The addition of a T is underrated. Try adding T's to people's names.
Right.
Jeff. My dad does the very standard Brad Pitts, which adding or taking away an S is always fun.
Sounds like a business that Brad Pitt owns.
Right. Exactly. Belonging to Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Exactly.
How are you doing, Paige? Where are you coming to us from?
I'm here at home. You know, this is in the wake of the delay of the Taylor Swift presale this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm actually feeling quite relaxed because I thought I had to worry about it all morning and now I'll worry about it at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Nice.
You've delayed your slow death by a few hours.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Wait, are they going to just evaporate like instantly? I mean, like, I know obviously people go, on Twitter, I'm seeing people who like I follow who live in Japan who are like, yo, once this fucking, like, I'm ready to get these tickets. Is it,
wow,
like, how swiftly do you have to act when the tickets drop in order to obtain your seat? Like, is it truly like in that moment and then you have to go to the secondary market or there's time? It's just that the good seats go immediately.
It's really hard to tell because, like, I have personally never been the one, like, making the purchase whenever I've, I went to the Reputation Tour with Ellie McIlvain.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ellie, former guest of the Daily Zeitgeist and obviously host of What's Your Favorite Taylor Swift Song. And she bought those tickets. Then, like, me and my friend Katie had tickets to the tour for Lover, which was, of course, canceled because it was supposed to be summer 2020. And she had bought the tickets then. And then throughout, like since then, Taylor Swift has just gotten more popular and put out 3 albums plus her re-records. So like the demand is higher.
Now, right. Yeah, I get it.
And yeah, so I'm feeling very peaceful knowing that it's not happening right now. Nobody has bought a ticket.
Right.
Nobody has.
Nobody
it.
Does so, it. You're not losing out.
Yeah.
Well, may the gods be with you.
Thank you so much.
On your journey.
May fortune favor you.
Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to just, you know, look at some mainstream reads on what happened in the midterm election from the New York Times. We're going to talk about the GOP continuing to struggle with their identity as a Trump or not a Trump party.
Right. Are we still emo or not?
And then we're going to look at the climate summit that's happening. It is ending this week, and just a little kind of behind closed doors. There's the sort of big controversial things about the food and the sponsors. And then there's some things that are happening behind closed doors that feel like they should be more controversial.
Yeah,
that we will talk about. All of that, plenty more. But first, Paige, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay. Well, I was going to say best seats, SoFi Stadium, but I feel like that's just more of us talking about the same. But I also had recently Googled Irish girls' names. And that was because I was panicking at a show where I knew they were filming the sets. And I've been doing a joke where I say a real person's name. And I thought, maybe I should come up with a different name, but it's just such a funny name to me. And I was in the back trying to come up with a fake name. And the problem with that stuff is the real example is always funnier.
Right.
It's just like not possible. Like I wish I could, I'll share offline with you guys the name that is the true name
okay.
of this real person. But yeah. I was like in the back being like, well, I can't say Saoirse. Everyone knows that name as Saoirse Ronan. Like,
right.
I mean, and these Siobhan, other ones are just,
you know,
what?
Siobhan.
Siobhan, I feel like that's,
yeah.
you know, Shiv on Succession.
Yeah.
We're hearing that, you know.
Sinead.
What is it?
Sinead.
But that is another iconic one, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool name.
Sinead is red.
Sinead is dope.
Yeah. This is more of like the joke I do is I call her a white girl named after a pony. And I feel like Sinead is not a pony name, you know?
Yeah, right. Sinead is definitely, Sinead is running that whole operation for sure.
I feel like you can't go wrong with a Mary to start it off, like Mary Sheila.
And oh, then, yeah, like, maybe a two-parter name, like
Mary Sheila O'Callaghan.
Yeah, maybe I could make up a whole
O'Callaghan's, Jack.
Fake name O'Callaghan's. With an Irish O'Callaghan's. Last name.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's just funny how it's true. Like, truth in comedy is always, like, the thing one of the first things you really learn when you're getting into comedy. And, yeah, like, to your point, even if you tried to engineer it, the fact, like, you know, it's just funnier because it's coming from the absolute, like, well of truth. And that probably translates immediately to the audience, even though they're like, was that the person's real name, you think? Just like, just the delivery and everything, it comes together. Beautiful.
How did it go? What'd you come up with? And did it hit as hard with the fake name in there?
I just said her real name.
There you go.
There we go.
I was like, you know what? And it's like a thing where I don't think that they're going to put that part out online. It'll be fine. Right. And you know what? If that girl finds out, I'd honestly be shocked. But I think sometimes in comedy when it's like, there's something about a show that's not being filmed where you go like, I mean, I'm technically speaking into a microphone to an audience. This is not private, but it feels different when you're filming it. And posting something online and all that feels like a different level. I don't know. But yeah, the real example is always the funniest.
Yeah.
It just is.
Stick with it.
Yeah.
What's something you think is overrated?
Okay, I always struggle with this when I come on here because I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, you know?
I was thinking about it though,
and this is sort of like a meta, maybe annoying response, but I do think actually like rating things and rankings is kind of overrated because for that exact reason, which it's so subjective, you know? Like, I think it's fun to rank things if, like, the three of us were like, okay, what's your top five favorite movies? And then we could talk about it.
Often
it's like an article that's like, the best movies of all time, objectively. Right. And it's like, no.
Nah. Yeah. If you don't agree, fuck you. You're dumb.
Yeah. Like, I'm stupid if I have a different thing I like.
Well, it's funny because I think the thing that's like overrated too is people's perception of those articles, right? Like, to treat them like just because someone uploaded it to a content management system for a website doesn't mean that it's the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was someone who made an article. Then for you as the person, you don't have to go, I don't agree. Why are they fucking with me? It's okay.
That's
don't
true,
worry
yeah.
about their just have your truth and just look, oh, that's that person's don't worry about it. Because half the time, I mean, it's funny though, Jack and I do get incensed though when we see like these like rankings of like top albums. We're like, this is stupid. Were they not around in 97? So
yeah,
it's hard
well, that's
to completely
the thing,
disconnect.
Is like, that's why they're such a popular thing, is because they get people mad, right? And that's like the thing that gets people to read these articles, is people being like, what the fuck? Like, this is who is this person? And it's like, yeah, who is this person? They're just an employee of this magazine or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I think we need more listicles where we just have the people themselves be like, all right, Steven Spielberg, give us your own top 10 films of your movies that you
made.
Then you have something to really talk about there. You can be like, from their perspective, this is how they rank their work. That, I think, could lead to some interesting conversation. But like, if it's just random person with following saying this is the anointed list, yeah, it gets a little whatever.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, I went to Maisie Peters last night at the Wiltern. I don't know. She's a young pop artist. I really like her. And I remember she introduced one of her songs as saying, this is my favorite song from the album. And I was like, oh my gosh, you never know.
I love when that happens.
Yeah.
When they tell you, and it's like not the song you would have picked, and then you get a second appreciation for it.
Yeah.
That's fun. I like when, like, a director comes out and is like, these are my five favorite movies, and they're not like the movies you would expect of them. And, you know, you discover a new gem. I am definitely guilty of Googling on multiple occasions, like, what are the best movies on Netflix this month?
Sure.
And it's like, have you ever heard of Monty Python and the Holy Grail? It's like, no shit. The Irishman is like still ranking. It's very
Jurassic Park.
What? Yeah, but then you can like go through and just cherry pick like the weird ones that you haven't heard of, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I guess the thing that you can do if you want to like look at reviews and stuff as a way of figuring out what you want to consume is like, if you have a reviewer or somebody that you typically agree with, it is kind of the only way to really get at that. But I wish there was more emphasis on this is my opinion. And, you know, because so much of why I like certain movies or music or whatever is because of a personal connection I have with it. Not because I go, objectively, that is the best.
Like, I watched the Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie on Netflix.
Ooh, did you enjoy it?
Falling in Christmas or Falling Christmas. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, like, I wasn't mad. I never go into a Christmas movie being like, this is going to be a seminal work. I'm like, I've got physical comedy. Lindsay Lohan's having fun. All right.
Yeah.
No notes.
Totally. I think that reminds me. Actually, I just remembered. I think that last time I was on here, I was saying that the underrated thing was Marry Me, the J-Lo movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And I had just seen it, too. I was like, I'll go with that.
Yeah. It's so much about like going in with a certain certain expectation, or recognizing like kind of the category, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of Apocalypse Now? That's on the top 10 list for Netflix in November.
The guy who is Morpheus in The Matrix is in that.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated besides Marry Me, of course?
Okay, I was thinking about this. I feel like there are a lot of bands that like were popular a long time ago-ish, and they were like kind of viewed as lame or whatever, and now they seem to be coming back around. And I think a top example of that is Red Hot Chili Peppers. I feel like for years, people were like, Red Hot Chili Peppers are stupid and lame. Meanwhile, I'm back here being like, I absolutely could sing the entirety of Californication, and I'm supposed to be shamed for that.
Right.
And there's a part of me that feels like, as I'm seeing, like when they were like performing at the VMAs and stuff, I was like, I'm glad they're doing well. Anthony Kiedis' hair looks ridiculous. Obviously, there's things that we can poke fun at the Red Hot Chili Peppers for, but at the end of the day, I think they've been underrated for years.
I mean, Spies from China do try to steal our minds' elation. They were just ahead of their time in pointing that out.
It's so
with
true.
TikTok, you know.
Am
I right?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It's so true. I mean, I feel like the same thing is happening with like Sublime. Everyone's wearing like Sublime t-shirts or like for sale at Urban Outfitters and stuff. And it's like, it's about perspective. It's like, I don't think that the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Sublime are like the best bands of all time. But I'm like,
Who cares
if I'm driving down the freeway, like driving into San Diego? I would love to hear what's going on with Sublime, you know?
Yeah. RHCPK, man. That was a good run we had.
That was our thing for a while. Yeah.
Where people were hitting us with Red Hot Chili Peppers, California Pizza Kitchen collab AKs. Ooh. I think, yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers just has this, I don't know, they have this thing. I think it's because Kiedis can't sing.
That, sure.
But he
Sublime and Kiedis both have that.
Yeah.
Where I mean, everybody Bradley can was, sing their songs because they showed you how somebody who can't sing sings those songs.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
I can't sing, and I like to sing in my car.
Yeah. Right. And same with, like, even in Cobain. I mean, I think Nirvana is better than those bands, but, like, there's also an appeal of the lead singer who can't sing that I think instantly makes, like, it doesn't intimidate you to sing it. Although that never stops anyone from singing their favorite song. But, like, when someone's like, can't stop addicted to the shindig, you're like,
come on, all right, that's just fun.
I could do that.
Yeah. I had that in my mind as can't stop addicted to the bing bong, which is incorrect, but I had actually literally written that out as like one of my favorite.
Addicted to the bing bong.
Like the character from Inside Out.
Yeah, I think that's where it came from. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd like to see that collab. I'd like to see a Red Hot Chili Peppers soundtrack on the next Pixar film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RHCPK can't stop man. Addicted to the breadsticks. Do they even have breadsticks? I don't think so.
At CPK, yeah. I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I mean their food is basically breadsticks. That's all.
Whoa, can't stop addicted to the spin dip because the spinach artichoke dip.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you can really put a lot there. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had there.
I mean, we've been pitching the corporate sponsors, but they're
chopped salad. This barbecue goes big. You know what I mean? You could do it all. Just not a life. I'm just imitation. Welcome to CPK. You got a reservation? Okay. You could do the whole thing anyway. Zeit gang, get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need marching orders.
It's been long enough. We've let it rest.
Yeah. Paige just, now the toothpaste has come out the tube. It's time. Yeah. Embrace it. RHCPK must return.
We've let it rest like a pizza dough getting ready to be baked. And now it's risen. It's risen back. It's ready. It's ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Zeit gang. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And, you know, I think we were all eagerly awaiting what the mainstream media's read on the election results were going to be. You know, there's an article that the headlines are coming out. The New York Times.
Isn't that this was the greatest midterm, this greatest election for leftist and progressive policies? In
No, not those headlines, Miles.
Oh, because that was there. Oh, I saw that. That seemed to be something I saw. Wait, what did they say?
Where did you see that? In the New York Times?
No, Jacobin.
Oh, right. So in the New York Times, they had the headline, How the 2022 Midterms Became a Squeaker, which is a fun word. But with that, you expect some analysis of what was actually happening here. And instead, it's like a lot of reporting from insiders who misread the election. Mm-hmm. That there's like a, it opens with the guy Maloney, who's like the DCCC guy who was like in charge of a bunch of the strategy,
yeah,
and then lost his own election, yeah, in a massive upset and was like totally outside of this wave that they're trying to explain. It opens with a scene where he's like arguing about how they should approach it, and he writes believe on the board, like a Ted Lasso quote. And but then they're like, and then he lost. So nobody really knows what's going on here. They actually like lay the breadcrumbs. And then it's like they walk right up to it, and then they won't say what actually happened. So one big thing they say, Democrats actually won voters who, quote, somewhat disapproved of Mr. Biden, according to initial exit polling, by a margin of 49% to 45%. That is a far cry from the 2010 and 2018 midterms, when voters who somewhat disapproved of Barack Obama and Mr. Trump overwhelmingly backed the opposing party by margins of 40 points and 30 points. So instead of losing by 40 and 30 points, they won by 4 points. That's like it's a huge swing. And yeah, so it would seem like this would lead to a pretty clear message that like Democrats want more progressive policy than the party is willing to give them. But you know, they're,
I don't know, it just sounds like they don't like the Republicans. That's what I'm, that's the most I can read into that.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do any ideating here.
Yeah. They do mention Dobbs up top, which is a big part of the answer, but they don't mention that the Democrats have been unable and unwilling to codify reproductive rights, which is a way in which the desires of the voters are more progressive than the policy and the party. Like just over and over again,
right,
you're hit with this fact that they, instead of stating that fact or, you know, diving into it and, you know, showing the statistics that back it up, instead of that, they just keep going back to like, well, they doubled down on this messaging strategy and then this messaging strategy worked and this one didn't. And it's all triangulation and, you know, yeah, insider. It's like an article written by and for political strategists instead of like trying to make sense of what actually happened.
Than those of us on Earth.
The election. Yeah. And then yeah, they also, so another headline that had me hoping that maybe we were going to get, like the New York Times is going to report on kind of the very straightforward message that we saw in this, these midterms. Democrats see a blueprint in Fetterman's victory in Pennsylvania. So it's like, how are they going to fuck this up, right?
Like, how did
wait? Yeah, so more progressive stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like run they, left of the party a little bit.
The big question, the big mystery at the middle of this one: how did Fetterman outperform Biden all over the place, specifically in like white working class counties? And
how
it feels like a pretty straightforward explanation. You know, those places went populist for Trump because he acknowledges the system is bad and the status quo treats them badly. Fetterman was different from Biden in that he seemed like he wasn't beholden to the status quo and policies and talking points. You'd think they'd like dig into some of the progressive policies he focused on, some of his like class-based talking points. And instead, like all they talk about is his Carhartt jacket, his open neck shirt, his tattoos. Like, this is how they introduce him. But Mr. Fetterman, with his tattoos and Carhartt wardrobe and priorities like marijuana legalization, appears to have regained ground with white working class. Then, like, right after, Mr. Fetterman, Pennsylvania's lieutenant governor, who posed for his official portrait in an open collar gray work shirt, won a larger share of voters than Mr. Biden did in almost every county. But it's like, that's all they focus on. They're just... And then they like get quotes from Republicans who dismiss him because he's weird looking. And that's it's all optics. I'm still mystified how he could do so well because he didn't release any of his medical records. He didn't do good in the debate. He embraced Biden. He's an odd looking guy in shorts and a hoodie. I thought this was going to be easy, Mr. Gleason said of Fetterman. Mr. Gleason is a Republican like strategist. And then there are like two mentions of policies and campaign platform that seem to focus on the working class, and they just bring them up in like a sentence fragment and then move on. And it just goes back to like, we don't know how this guy did it.
I think it's his bald head.
Yeah. Like that really seems to be.
Well, what like, are his tattoos? I'm like looking at like a breakdown of his tattoos. I guess he has one that says, I will make you hurt, like from the song.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. and Fox was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I saw there's a headline like, that says satanic Democrat John Fetterman has tattoo. I will make you hurt on his right arm that he now hides, taken from song on suicide.
Right.
It's like, okay, that just sounds like an explanation, but it's phrased as satanic. Sounds
like he was really fucking with Trent Reznor for a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, just like, oh, okay.
But like, yeah, you look at, it's so funny that they're like, what could it be? Is it his clothes? Because they don't want to investigate deeper than shit you can dress up some other goon in. It can't be that he is like, universal healthcare support. Like these are on his issues page, guaranteeing healthcare, supporting workers, plus the union way of life, promoting building a clean energy future, fighting inflation and lowering costs, delivering criminal justice reform. Just like these. Protecting women's reproductive freedoms. He's telling you right there, these are a lot of the things that, guess what, appeal to even the rural in these rural areas.
You should get them tattooed on his face, just like a list of his policies. That would help.
Watch, that's what Patrick Maloney's going to do in his next race. He's going to be like, look, I got these tattoos. Look, universal health care dripping out my eye like I murked a guy in prison. See, I'm with it.
They don't mention universal health care once in the whole article.
Yeah. They don't want to fucking reckon with the actual policies. And again, they this whole like class of people, the consultants, the journalists, they're so embedded and like invested in the old way of doing things in politics that they're constantly befuddled. They're like, these 50-year-old tools don't seem to be working anymore. Is it his Carhartt jacket? No, it's fucking inequality. It's the fact that people are like, holy shit, there are existential threats out there that if I don't fucking actually like begin to pay attention to who's like in positions of power, shit might just go by the wayside suddenly. That's maybe has something to do with it, not because he's got this like obviously his appeal with the way he dresses is that he is a little more grounded than every other plastic doll man you send out or person to be like, and I am the Democrat who is not the Republican.
Exactly. The other strategy. There's one part where I was like, oh, okay, they're about to say the thing. An alternative explanation for why Mr. Fetterman did so much better than Mr. Biden in red counties, besides winning some former Trump supporters, is that a different spectrum of voters turned out, and it just gets into like his ground game in those counties. And then they close it out.
Right.
They do a bunch of interviewing of like their, you know, they love an interview with a blue collar white working class voter to tell them like what they're missing. And
right.
So they close the article with a quote from someone who didn't vote in the election. Talking about his clothes, basically. They're like, Mr. Astle voted twice for Mr. Trump and said that his presidency should have been more successful. Like some other blue-collar Trump supporters, Mr. Astle said Mr. Fetterman seemed inauthentic to him in his shorts and hoodie getups, given that Mr. Fetterman's affluent family supported him through his 40s when he drew a token salary as the mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania. And then Carhartt was originally designed for blue-collar people, Mr. Astle said about Mr. Fetterman's famous workwear wardrobe. But now Carhartt is one of those brands all the yuppies wear. That's the last line of the article. That's where they leave it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that that's not a thing, but I don't know if it's the topic at hand.
Right, and it's just so surface level and mechanics level, like what would. They can't possibly think that, like, political strategists talking about, like, not understanding the results is a better, more coherent narrative to put out. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty shocking. Like, even though it's kind of what we expect. Like, it's,
they're trying to put up a firewall so the discussion isn't, we just need more, we just need to lean into these policies more.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if they can prevent that from being the discourse that is generated off the backs of their articles, then they've done something good, because everyone who reads it, when they all get together, like, did you read? Oh, wow. Like the midterms is great. Yeah, I think it's the look of Fetterman that I think is really helping. We just need more people that look like that. It looks like that's really connecting.
Right.
Like, no, you fucking ghouls. People are fucking suffering. Address that. And someone will be like, hey, what? You're giving me a vision of something I can invest in emotionally. Wow, that sounds like a good proposition.
Yeah, I do kind of hope Joe Biden gets sleeved, like just because he takes the wrong message from this and starts wearing like a jean jacket.
Can
with
you,
the
can
sleeves
you
cut
get
off?
Tattoos if your skin is like paper loose?
I was gonna say, does someone have to like? Stretch it out to make it taut enough to have the image, but then once it returns to its normal state. I have to say is Joe Biden, just go like just rock like a fun wig. You don't have to get tattoos.
Ooh,
I think people
will
fuck with you. Like if he had like Gen Z broccoli hair.
I think mullet would work well for him. Like it already feels like he should have a mullet. You know,
like that fake picture from like the, I think it was like when Clinton was inaugurated or whatever, where it looks like Joe's got the wild mullet, but it was someone behind him's hair. Okay.
Maybe like a septum piercing, you know?
Could you imagine? They're so far fucking behind from being in touch. It's like the most in touch person they have is like a Gen X guy who's like, I don't know, maybe he could rock like some flannel and like a Nirvana tee. Docs, maybe.
Yeah.
At least they're trying something.
Do they? I'm really interested. If anybody has like come across an article where a New York Times or like an interview where a New York Times journalist is like, we just know we can't say that. Like, I'm curious about the process even of like how you write an article.
It's self-selecting.
Like
it's self-selecting. Right. You know, the people that last all think the same way. So, you know, very quickly, they're like, this is how we talk about shit over here. And I'm sure within there, they're like, oh, okay. Like, we're not going to go all far left on people when they're talking about stuff. Like, maybe it was the like real issues that regular people are like experiencing that was maybe in the secret sauce of like talking, speaking to their lived experiences and saying, hey, I understand groceries cost way too fucking much. And guess what? It's not because of this or that. These fucking companies, they're charging whatever the fuck they want and they're getting away with it. Why? Because the fucking government doesn't do shit to actually intervene. So that's something I see as something we can do going forward. It's that kind of shit. Hey, man, y'all like you fuck with this Carhartt? All right, John Fetterman. Thank you so much, poor people.
Yeah. All right. On the other side of the ticket, Trump. Wait, we're recording this before, you know, when Trump is expected to announce. But he most likely announced already, right, that he's running 2024.
I mean, if the reporting is accurate, as you're hearing this, this dude just pulled up and said, "I'm announcing, baby, I'm ready for 2024." And probably Jared and Ivanka won't be there, because that was the last thing I read, was they want nothing to do with the announcement, because they're probably doing a little rehab on their brand too.
Yeah. They're trying to get to those sick Florida parties.
Yeah. I mean, this could be good or bad. I don't know. It's just, we never want to have to deal with Donald Trump again, but I don't know. Ron DeSantis just freaks me out also, because he's like the kid brother to Donald Trump, and like where Trump's his like older brother who had like that one good season of high school football and then just completely burnt out on his own ego. And he's like, all right, so I'm not going to do that, but I can learn from his terrible mistakes. And he's like, DeSantis just seems like the raptors from the newer Jurassic Park films, where Trump is like the raptor from the first one, like dangerous in the first one. But now this motherfucker is like communicating with the other raptors and like collaborating and just doing problem solving. That's how I see it.
Friends with Chris Pratt. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Pretty soon we will see them together, I'm sure. But I just want to talk about some of the top headlines that were going into Tuesday's announcement, because everything has been like this full court press to be like, he sucks, right? Is he going to be ousted? I don't know. Let's check in with all the other people in MAGA world, starting with Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State. He said he ain't scared. Quote, I think he's asking, like, you know, this guy might announce, you know, obviously you have your own aspirations. He said, quote, we're trying to think our way through figuring out what's next for us. But what happens today or tomorrow, what some other person decides, won't have any impact on that decision. We need more seriousness. We need less noise. We need steady hands. We need leaders that are looking forward, not staring in the rearview mirror claiming victimhood. So that's him with his lightly spicy take.
Yeah, he's like preparing himself to run against Trump, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll see, because once he just starts being like, yeah, well, your wife is ugly, then like suddenly they're gonna be like, oh.
Well, that does seem to be the other like comprehensive take that has been taken away by the mainstream media, is that Trump is poison and he's the reason they lost. But so I'm sure all the political analysts and strategists and consultants around all of these candidates are telling them, like, yeah, it's a wide open field. Like, get in there and start criticizing Trump.
Pay me. I mean, you get a field day getting one of these candidates' ears. The Wall Street Journal has basically said the GOP in the country would be best served if Mr. Trump ceded the field to the next generation of Republican leaders to compete for the nomination in 2024. Okay, so the Wall Street Journal is not there. Lindsey Graham, hey, are you down, my man? He said, let's see what he says. This is a quote from Lindsey Graham when they asked about, like, will you support him? This is Lindsey Graham's answer, quote, let's see what he says. I'll tell you after Georgia.
Okay. So he's given two deadlines. We'll see what he says, and also let's see what happens after Georgia.
And then Ron DeSantis himself, they're saying, again, he was doing a press conference. They're like, hey, what about all this noise? Looks like Trump, you know, saying some stuff about you. What do you think about everything that's going on around your campaign or potential campaign? And then this is how he responded.
And really what matters is, are you leading? Are you getting in front of issues? Are you delivering results for people? And are you standing up for folks? And if you do that, then none of that stuff matters. And that's what we've done. We focused on results and leadership. And, you know, at the end of the day, I would just tell people to go check out the scoreboard from last Tuesday night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Oh, you think he's got something? Got some juice? Scoreboard, motherfucker. I won by 20. All his picks got blown out. Any other questions? Subtle.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, I do feel like Trump is built for, like, the announcing early, like he loves to be in conflict. And so I feel like his brand is crisis and conflict and being in fights and shit slinging. And so he's probably making a strategically smart move by like starting early, getting all these people like talking spicy, and then he can create the conflict that he's sort
yeah
of
I think
on.
He's in a better position to be like king of the hill type thing and shoving people back down who are trying to get to his perch versus trying to get to someone else's perch,
right?
You know what I mean? Like if the roles are inverted and it's like DeSantis's party now and Trump's trying to claw back, I don't know what his odds are there. But because he's still firmly at the top, I'm just not confident in the combined power of like Rupert Murdoch's media and the establishment can get Trump to vanish. It just because he still has fans. So unless you can get the fans to like abandon, it's gonna be a big fight, big old fight.
Yeah. He's great at getting people to vote both for him and against him. So like in a Republican primary, I feel like the main thing that comes out is getting people to vote for him, because the people he's good at getting to vote against him don't vote in mass in the Republican primary. At least they haven't traditionally. So
it's just funny, too, because on the right, they're also like, you know, you have the New York Times be like, here's our op-ed where we're like, take us to your poor people world and like try and tell you what the real problems are. But like, and they clearly don't understand what's going on with, you know, most of like working America. And it's just funny, like on the right, they're doing this thing where like they know they're white supremacists, like creature goblins, that like everything they stand for is like repugnant to a self-respecting human being. But they were even like, I don't even understand what the heck happened. I just have to play this clip from Jeanine Pirro, Judge Jeanine Pirro, because she's so animated trying to figure out like what is going on. It's like, y'all don't act stupid. You know what happened. She posits that this abortion thing came out of nowhere on us.
The thing that like, your party has been like,
you're like, I'm sorry,
single-mindedly what? Focused yeah. on getting passed for the past 50 years.
Listen to this. Speaking of no personal responsibility, this is her just trying to fucking figure it out. I'm like in the middle of her rant because she's already like, I don't understand. Joe Biden, Afghanistan, woke Bryce gas prices, shouldn't have won. But here she is where she's starting to get into this whole abortion thing.
The economy with Afghanistan, everything about what we've been through for the last 2 years has been a nightmare. And I'll tell you what won this election for the Democrats. Sure, the young people came out and voted. And they got paid. I mean, they got the student loans paid back. It was a buyout. I mean, that's what happened with them. Uh-huh. But the other thing is abortion. It was all about abortion. Joe Biden didn't do abortion. Abortion just kind of fell out of the Supreme Court for whatever reason. In May or June of this year, and that was it. That's all the Democrats needed. Now, they're going to beat their chest. They're going to say, well, it's because we're so great. Joe Biden, what a leader. America hates him. Okay? And that's all I have to say.
Okay.
So, it's not the decades-long fucking war, shadow war they've been fighting, both, like, overtly and covertly? Like, come on now. It's just wild, though, too, that they're simultaneously they're like reaping what they sow is like just rhetorically. And they're like, how did they don't like that? Oh, shit. What?
Also, can I why does she have something on her wrist?
Yeah, I look.
She okay?
I'm not going to speculate. She might have injured herself in some kind of.
It's just interesting to see someone animatedly, you know, talking.
Yeah, it's an interesting reveal when you're giving such an impassioned rant, and then you're like, "Oh, you hurt yourself? How did you do that? You fall down?"
It comes in like right as she's getting the most animated.
She's been rocking it for the last couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, she's like, and also in my building where I live, they didn't put up a wet floor sign, and so that came out of nowhere. And
right, abortion just fell out of the sky.
What like, even is abortion? What are they even talking about, man?
But that is also kind of how the mainstream media is treating it. That it's just like, well, this gift to the Democrats, and that's why they won. And it's not acknowledging like that statistic that I'm gonna like have a hard time getting over is like usually you vote like people who are dissatisfied with the president vote for the other party by 30 to 40 points, and this time they voted for the president they're dissatisfied with by 5 points. And it's because it's abortion is wildly unpopular. The Republican Party has been working forever to pass this incredibly unpopular thing. People aren't happy with the job that Biden and the Democratic Party have been doing to fight back against it, but it's better than the party that actually passed the thing. So again, it's like they people want more progressive policy than the two major parties are willing to give them.
Yeah. But and now the Supreme Court is basically just seen as an extension of the GOP to a lot of people because of like how like fucking chaotic some of the past confirmation hearings have been. And then on the heels of that, you see them doing decisions like, maybe we'll, you know, here's the Dobbs decision. Here's us, you know, maybe doing a little something to that student loan forgiveness. We'll see if it gets to us. Like you can kind of see where like the rubber like hit meets the road for a lot of things too. And, you know, you don't want to have a, like to say your whole brand is like, yeah, those are all our people. The ones who are into taking away all of your fucking rights. That's our brand actually. Oh, wait, they're starting to connect that now.
Right.
What the heck happened back there?
For some reason that we're still looking into, we're not sure where this abortion thing came from, but it fell out of the sky. That's amazing.
Like, is that just to just absolve themselves of like saying that their party, you know, like I'm trying to understand, like I get like the very human instinct to be like, oh, I'm not going to take a L on that thing I believe in. But that's me lying to myself.
Right.
Like, is that her lying to herself? Is it because there's also a version where you see this too, where people are so fucking out of touch that they really like, wait, what? That's not popular. You're like, are you for real?
Yeah, I think it's that.
I'm trying to figure out which one it is. Is it out of touch or ego preservation?
I think it's out of touch. I think they're used to being the ones who can motivate the base with like extreme views. And they're just suddenly in the find out phase of fucking around and finding out. And they're not equipped with the structural kind of ideas to like understand what has happened here. And so they're just kind of flailing around.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, just came out. Damn policies just kind of came out of nowhere on us.
Came out of the dang blue sky, you know?
The heck was that?
All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And yeah, I mean, a thing that we kind of brushed past, but was like Fetterman was one of his top campaign platform priorities was climate. Climate is, I think, a big reason in addition to the economy and economic inequality. But climate is also a big reason that especially young people are dissatisfied with the status quo. And like, so might be willing to vote against the Republicans who are like party of oil and drill, drill, drill in favor of a party that is not doing shit while the world ends. But at least they're not actively like they're just lying about whether they're going to do something.
Yeah. I mean, Fetterman's like he's at least has some he's genuine and he's like, look, I know we're fracking out here in Pennsylvania. So I'm not trying to say that we ain't fracking no more. But. Also, right. Shit's fucked. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think climate is probably a bigger and bigger part of this dissatisfaction with the status quo, that there is right. This entrenched, you know, corporate and political class that is unwilling to change things and change how we do things enough to address climate change. And we saw that in a big way this week in the final week of COP27, the International Climate Summit, which this year is taking place in Egypt. 200 countries got together, put their heads together, and have done fuck all, apparently.
Ah!
Damn.
Shit.
I thought you were going to say we're all good now.
There are a bunch of speeches, but no talk of any new announcements or pledges before the whole thing wraps on Friday. And there's like a bunch of controversies, a bunch of people being like the menu includes like salmon flown in from the Atlantic thousands of miles away. And I think these are like these symbolic things that the mainstream media likes to like focus on that get at people's, you know, anxiety that like, well, this is a ruling class that has none of the same priorities that we have on this massive subject that is threatening the lives of every human being on this planet. And people are like, yeah, so let's talk about how people are mad about the menu because it'll make them look out of touch. But there's also like big, gigantic structural issues with how this thing is, how this conference operates. Like one of the major sponsors this year is Coca-Cola.
Well, they need to drink something, Jack.
Right.
What's the problem with Coca-Cola?
Well, there's a recent report that says the company's production of plastics is increasing. People were, you know, pointing out that it, like, they are one of the biggest polluters in the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's good. That's not bad. That, yeah, I mean, that's bad. That's bad.
Which is, like, exactly why they would want to sponsor, right? Because it makes them look like
100%.
Oh, we care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do
this
we
is
care?
Part of them. Coke claims they're working on doing better and believe in effective climate solutions. And
oh,
but
really?
Yeah, that's okay. What people are saying. Like, this is all just greenwashing. This is like marketing.
Yeah.
I think, and that's what's really clever too, because even with the way Coca-Cola operates, right? Like, they're like, yeah, man, we have a commitment to slash our use of plastics. Here's the thing you don't know. We can only do so much. It's our bottlers that ultimately make that decision. So we can say we're fucking with less plastic. But until you talk to these like six companies that determine the bottles that this shit goes into, yeah, man, I can't really do shit for y'all.
Yeah. And those companies have all said they're not doing shit.
Do you think Pepsi is kind of like enjoying being second best now, like being like the attention's right. off us? Like we're actually good with the fact that nobody talks about Pepsi.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that. Pepsi's still operating in Russia, you know, doing commercials with Putin because they're like, mm-hmm. at least we're not. No, I'm joking. But I feel like that's what they could be doing right now. And nobody would notice.
We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. I mean, they make Mountain Dew, so they get a pass. Just because of their proximity to Mountain Dew, you know, like I'm willing to turn a blind eye.
It is a natural dew collected from mountains and put into...
Even if it is at the expense of everyone on Earth, right. Fine, so be it.
But there's also details from this conference that are kind of what I always suspected is going on with that is keeping climate change from actually like being addressed with actual policies. For instance, there are a ton of oil lobbyists at the summit making deals in closed rooms. This has apparently been happening for years. There's one scientist who like works on carbon emissions and came out and said the real deals are handled indoors, you know, in closed rooms. This is the management professor. At the first one he attended, COP17 in South Africa, he tried to get into a session on carbon emissions in the mining industry, a topic he was researching. But guess what? They turned me away. And who walks in the room to discuss to develop global climate policy? CEOs of Rio Tinto, Shell, BP, followed by the ministers.
Wow.
Right. Which wow. is how business is done. So right. there's just this... immense inertia, like this giant global economy that has a built-in logic and like a built-in way of doing things. And none of it involves listening to professors instead of like, you know, discussing first and foremost what's good and bad for your bottom line. And this year, the lobbyists, there were 636 lobbyists from the oil and gas industry registered to attend. Last year, there was 503. So clearly they're seeing that this is a winning strategy.
Well, yeah, and there's literally more of them than there are people representing, like, the humans of the countries that they're coming from, like, right. the delegations they're
I'd
from.
I'd imagine
like,
that number is closer to zero.
More people representing gas and earth fuckers than anybody else. I mean, it is wild, but it's just a reflection of everything that you see around us, you know? The people that have the seat at the table are the businesses, and they literally will sit next to the politicians and be like, okay, so how can we work this out? Huh?
Right.
Because, you know, we don't want to change too much, but like I get y'all need a win too. So let's figure out what that can be while we can maintain our business. And like, it's the same thing you see at so many decision-making, like arenas for decision-making where you have the companies, the politicians, but what about the billions of human beings who are actually like on the brink of a total human rights disaster?
Right.
Because we're not talking about it like that. It's just like, oh, wow, what will they come up with this time? Joe Biden gave a good speech and Al Gore said something nice. But at the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, real fucked up, horrible things coming down from more people on top of the people who are already experiencing it. And the lack of addressing that situation, the lack of funds being pushed towards the countries that are right now on the receiving end of our lax policies. So, yeah, it's very, very frustrating because, you know, you think you look at everything that's being reported and you'd like to hear that there's some kind of serious discussion happening aside from like whatever piecemeal like. You know, incremental thing they'll announce that'll be like, hey, it turns out we have like 6 more years before we're fucked. So we'll do things in like 5.5 years.
Right. And, you know, insidiously fund research that tells people what they want to hear instead of the research that is just motivated by the scientific method and, you know, democratic truths of like, you know, this is bad for the most amount of people. But yeah, it's basically people are now saying that this climate change conference is essentially now a fossil fuel industry trade show, which makes sense. Every like capitalist enterprise wants to eventually influence the most amount of money. And it makes sense that's where it would go. It's just further proof that like you can't fix this system with the system. Like the current system is broken and you can't use a broken tool to fix a broken system, you know.
But you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps,
right?
See?
Mm-hmm. That is the answer.
It's like the same logic as like, well, the same bootstraps you would pull yourself up with are the tools you need to use to fix the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I'm for it.
Yeah.
You know,
all these oil CEOs, I'm sure, have biographies that are all about how they pulled themselves up by the bootstraps. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oof, well, you know. We shall see. Look, they still have a few days. Maybe they'll surprise us. You know, yeah. Maybe they'll surprise us. You never know. But yeah, I mean, it's things don't bode well in general because the powers that be, like the status quo is here for the time being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they served the salmon. So.
Right. And they served salmon. Also, the other thing, like the other big story about the food, in addition to it being like super luxe and like not making any sense from a climate policy perspective, was people at the event being like, this food is garbage. This tastes terrible. I saw some people have McDonald's driven in through the desert just to, you know, just so they could eat something normal. And
oh my like, God.
So it's just, it's everything you would expect in your worst nightmares about like, or your like most ham-fisted satire of how the world actually operates.
Why can't there be like a leftovers type event at COP27?
Right.
You know, just
or boom. Like kind of a potluck style, like everybody brings something.
Oh, I'm at the TV show where those people vanished in the rapture.
Oh!
Yeah. But I like
also make them eat leftovers. That would be more.
Yeah. Thank you. Now we're not wasting. Okay. What you yeah, got? Man. Some old McDonald's fries, the salmon skin from earlier. Okay. We can do something with this. Yeah. We can do something.
Everyone should be shopping vintage and, you know, thrifting, and they should be having a potluck.
Make them eat a freegan diet where it's like exactly. All just food from a dumpster that's been salvaged.
Yeah. I mean, it's not often God that you're going to get all the bad guys in one place and you could just rapture them away to Funtown.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
Anyway, think about it, God, if you exist, really.
Paige, as always, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here as always. You can follow me on Instagram at Paige Weldon. And also, if you live in Minneapolis or the surrounding areas, I will be there this weekend,
hey.
Friday and Saturday, the 18th and 19th at the Comedy Corner Underground doing two shows.
Will you tell this? Will you do that joke?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find out the name. You'll find out too. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. You can tell her, yeah. You can find her and tell her I'm talking about her. They're going to be really fun. This place is really cool. It's like a small kind of like punk rock indie comedy venue. It's under a bar in Seven Corners called the Corner Bar. Two shows. There'll be local comics on it. I think it'll be really fun. And nice. It's too cold to be outside. So come on inside, you know?
Yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Okay, so I have been enjoying on TikTok. I'm a big fan of this girl at Sad Girl Swag. It's GRL, Sad Girl Swag. And she does reaction videos that are like swag or not swag about whatever she's watching. And like, listen, there are a lot of people doing these type of reaction videos on TikTok. But damn, she just, I just love her. Like she'll do, okay, let me play one that I enjoyed recently. So
here, send, do you have a, are you looking
yes,
at your
let
phone?
Yes, let me send her account send in the chat so that you guys can be enjoying these videos. I just think she's funny, and somehow every time she declares something swag or not swag, I'm like, she's right. Like, I agree. Like, that is swag and that is not swag. Take a look.
Which one should we play for?
Let's play this one where we're looking at the Reese's peanut butter cups in the hydraulic press.
Over here? Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Welcome to Swag or Not Swag. I've seen this before. We're going to get chocolate spaghetti, I think. Yeah, swag. Of course, I love it. Skittles spaghetti. Maybe? I like it. Swag. I hadn't seen that one. It looks a little scary. It looks like a monster right there. I don't know.
This is my favorite.
I haven't seen this. Gummy bear. Gummy worm. Swag. Okay, changed.
Gummy bear. Gummy worm.
Gummy bear. Okay, swag.
And she'll do like the ones where it's like the random videos that are all over TikTok of like this person's for some reason running over a bunch of objects with their with a tire or like the, you know, like any number of these like satisfying quote unquote videos to watch.
Right,
she'll,
right.
She'll assess is it swag or is it not.
Good thing. Good. Gotta know. Gotta know.
They're just pleasant to watch. I like her.
Yeah. I just like how also like she's really distilled her just everything into it could be it just fits into swag or not swag and it's applicable to anything.
Yes. Well, and I love whenever you look at like I love looking at the comments on any TikTok, but like everyone's always like, you're how are you always right? Like, how do I totally agree with everything you just said?
I'm so confident. Like, yeah, that is swag. Unfortunately, I regret to inform you that it is swag.
It is swag. Yeah, and she has, like, if you watch enough of her videos, you go, like, you also start to be able to tell, like, her taste, you know?
Right. Right. She's like, no, this isn't swag for her. But for me, swag.
Mm. Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got NBA boosties. I said NBA boosties. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard being at the top of the comedy basketball pod dog pile, right? That sounds like a thing. Yeah, and we are. Come by and check that out. And also, Sophia Alexander and I on 420 Day Fiancé, where we talk 90 Day Fiancé. Some tweets that are like, really, it's from Chris Estrada. Which this fool has got renewed for a second season. Hooray to that. At Chris Estrada 85 tweeted, as a Mexican / Latino, I actually don't feel represented by the Namor character in the new Black Panther movie because I can't swim. If Namor was wearing basketball shorts at the beach and only going in knee high into the ocean, then I would have felt seen. I like it. Got me there, Chris.
Shout out to Chris, my friend.
Amazing. Tweet I've been enjoying at OX Fubar tweeted, a fun fact, FTX appointed the Enron liquidator as the CEO replacement for SBF. Another fun fact, built by traders for traders was the tagline for both companies, both Enron and FTX. And then Christopher Hooks responded, that is true. And then Christopher Hooks responded, Elizabeth Holmes's dad was a VP at Enron. We're living in the Enron century.
Wow.
If you don't know the story of Enron for our younger listeners or, you know, anyone, it's worth going and finding
some any good documentaries.
It's just wild how blatantly they were making up money, paying it to themselves, and then got caught and basically got away with it. And Jack's a bunch of
swag,
people,
swag or not swag though,
swag for sure, right. Swag.
Swag.
Yeah. Enron swag,
swag. Yeah, Enron swag. Dude.
Yeah. But just a lot of people learned an important lesson from that, you know, and then the rest of the country who wasn't paying attention to that learned that shit on after the 2008 financial collapse. It's just like, none of this. It's all none of this really matters.
Yeah.
Or it does matter. It's just none of your rules really matter. It's none of this is real. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to information that we talked about. We'll link off to Paige's Swag Not Swag recommendation.
Swag.
As well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
I think I just hurt my neck yelling footnotes. it happens. This is a remix of Stro Elliott and James, it's a James Brown remix by Stro Elliott. And it's like a mashup of James Brown and Fela Kuti. That's why it's called Machine No Make Sex, because it's like based off the Fela Kuti Water No Get Enemy. So this is Machine No Make Sex. And this is kind of it's a dope Afrobeat remix of James Brown. So check this one out.
Amazing. All right. We'll link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.